This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome. I'm the Baroness of Barbecue, Mercy Baron.
And I'm a gal in her fork, Marie Tahan Daniels, and you're listening to Hand to Mouth.
Come with us on a journey to explore tales of food, flavors,
and the folks who bring deliciousness to our tables from around the world. All right, and we are live. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, April 10th, and we're really excited to be here at Specialty Produce Network, of course, and we've got two fantastic guests. You're going to see one pop in just in a second here. we are talking all about vegan lifestyle today, which Mercy and I don't know anything about.
Oh.
No lie.
A little bit.
Not in our daily lives, for sure. No. But we have...
Excuse me.
Mercy.
Oh, my God. Spilling with electronica and near your computer. Oh, my God. Keep it away from me.
Faux pas.
Fail.
So we have Vegan in San Diego co-founder with us today, Rob Fargo. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Thank you for being here. And we have our producer and resident vegan, Danielle Hetz, with us today. And we're really excited because we're going to count on you two to kind of figure out some of the misconceptions, the trends, and the local hotspots in San Diego that we need to try out.
Sweet.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us here.
So, Rob, I hear 20 years vegan?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Wow. That deserves a wow. From us carnivores,
wow.
It deserves a wow. And maybe even from vegans, too. I don't know.
No, that's a long time.
Right?
Okay.
It's like
all
when
right.
People talk about sobriety, and they talk about more than 10 years. I'm like, what?
Oh, right. Yeah.
All right. All right. So I'm not out in the cold thinking that that's a feat,
well,
I guess.
There are a lot of people who try it or mm-hmm. they heard about, a lot of times it's a celebrity. There'll be some celebrity mm-hmm. who mentioned it or mm-hmm. something, and they give it a try, and then they don't really know that much about it to mm-hmm. begin with, and maybe they're not committed to it, which is fine. I mean, there's all different ways of eating.
Right.
But for me, it was something that really mattered to me and continued to be through my life, so I just kept going.
So when you decided to do this, were all of your community in general starting to kind of go this way, or were you an outlier and everybody else in the family
no,
and friends were all still eating meat and you had made a decision?
I was an outlier.
Okay.
But there were a couple things that were supportive for me. One of them was that I was moving to a place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was much more vegan than the rest of the country.
Okay.
I was moving to Santa Cruz when it happened.
So
I knew that that was going to be something that was going to be easier. And another thing was that my brother and I went vegetarian and vegan kind of together, but from a distance.
Okay.
He was going to college in another state. I was back where I'm from in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how I went vegan, was when he told me that he had gone vegan. And I said, what is that?
Uh-huh.
And when he explained it, and I had already been vegetarian for a number of years at that point, but when he explained what it was, I was like, ugh.
One more.
Because I knew that I was going to have to do it, because it made sense. It wasn't like I was competing with my brother. It was just, if I believe in animal rights, mm-hmm. I have to do this. And I didn't do it that day, but when I had that change to move to Santa Cruz, that's when I took advantage of it. Yeah.
But when you went like this, was that because you knew you had to give up cheese? You had to give up milk? I want to know what that was about.
I was never I don't mean to blaspheme, uh-huh. but I was never a cheese person.
Okay.
And maybe
lucky
that
you.
Maybe
yeah.
that made it easier,
I guess,
too.
Yeah.
I did like pizza, though.
And I don't know about cashew cheese on pizza, but I don't know. That's probably, yeah, you guys are going to tell me. Oh, there's some good stuff like that. Yeah.
I feel like I have to, like, bite my tongue this whole podcast because I just want to be like,
come on. It's all about saying what you feel. And
well, it's really lucky for us because we have Danielle to kind of, you know, guide us through some of the conversations which we've had over these last 10 episodes, which has been really funny because we'll see Danielle over there behind the glass as she produces the show. And we want to bring her in. So this was the perfect way to do it, is because
yeah.
this is not our specialty, so we're really excited to have
well,
the both
thanks.
Of you. Now, Danielle, how did you turn
to the lighter side, I guess you guys would say, because it really is the lighter side.
It really is. It really
I know
is.
We make jokes about it being the dark side,
but it isn't really.
Opposite. To be honest, like I always just a little background. Like I grew up in the middle of the desert. We had tractors. We had a pet pig. Like dirt road, whatever. Small town. The neighbor down the street butchered cows. Like the other neighbor had goats and milk and, you know, whatever. So that was my norm. Like Hickville white trash, like, for lack of a better word. And so I grew up around all that stuff. And like it was like totally normal for me to eat that way. But at the same time, I called myself an animal lover. I was just like had all the pets and, you know, whatever.
Did you name your pigs?
Yeah, well, I didn't eat him. It was
okay.
A pot belly.
All right, so it was a pet.
Yeah,
okay,
his name was Pork Chop, but he was a pet. See, we never ate him.
That's just mean.
So that's my dad's fault. So fast forward a lot of years, I remember just one day I was walking through my kitchen and I was like, you know, I keep on saying that I love animals, yet every one of my meals I eat one, and I just started thinking like, this is weird. Like, why do we do that? And it started, like, psychologically bothering me. Like, I was like, why am I so against China eating dogs and cats, yet I have no problem? Like, pigs are my favorite animal.
Right.
And I'm talking about bacon.
Mine,
you know?
Too, but for a different reason.
Sorry. So I started doing a little research because the first thing you hear is like, well, you don't get enough protein, like all these stereotypes. And so I started looking it up. And the one thing I started following was a lot of vegan athletes because I like to be athletic. I don't know if I'd quite classify myself as an athlete, but in that category, health and fitness. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to do a little bit of research and make sure this is okay. Watched a couple documentaries and I was sold. And I was just like, never again will I eat an
animal. Well, the documentaries are tough, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not all of them are violent.
Well, I did the chicken one like 20, 30 years ago. And at least for 2 years, I couldn't eat chicken, and then I slowly went back again. But they are frightening.
Yeah. Well, even just the ones on
and
the
rightly
health
so,
side of things.
By the way. Rightly yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it all started. And that
and
was.
Did you have a support system around you, or were you the outlier too?
I was the only one. I brought it to attention to other people. And, you know, along the line, I've met people like Rob that have become friends over the years. But in the beginning, I was just like, I don't care what it takes. I'm never eating any of this again. And I, like, went through my fridge and donated all the cheese to my neighbor and tore all my leather coats off my jackets and or off my hangers. And I was like, I'm done. And then I calmed down and I was like, well, if an animal died to make these jackets and shoes, I should at least treasure them and not just get rid of them.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, I still have. That's an interesting perspective. Like leather, like my purse out there is leather. Right. My jacket has leather on it, but they were all pre-vegan stuff. And I'm like, you know, I won't wear them to a vegan restaurant, but like, you know, that animal died for something. So if I care about the animals, then I should try to treasure that instead of just getting rid of it. So yeah, it's been kind of a journey, but for me, it was like overnight to stop eating, you know, stop eating animal products.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was cold turkey.
Oh yeah.
and I always ask vegans, was it because of being an animal lover or was it because of health reasons? And I guess they always say both. You know, I don't know if one is just so strong for one. Of course, the love of animals. You know, I always say hypocrite. Love animals. Mm-hmm. I eat them. But I'm a big hypocrite because everybody knows that I don't like – I won't eat an octopus because they're so sweet and intelligent and all this stuff. But so are pigs.
I was going to say pigs
are
one of the
finest. So I am a self-admitted hypocrite. And am I going to stop? I'll be not. So, you know. That's anyways, okay. But I always ask Rob, would you say was it both things for you too when you decided to go total vegan?
It was somewhat both. I mean, when I first went vegetarian, it was after having read an excerpt from Animal Liberation by Peter Singer in college. So now you all know how old I am. I mean, some of the health benefits are extremely important for people. It wasn't like a huge one for me, but I do think that since I was, as I said before, I wasn't big on cheese. I think there's a chance that I was lactose intelrant and I never had looked into it.
That helps push you also.
Yeah, my father was, so there's a chance that I was too. And it causes a little bit of stress in the movement, I think, sometimes because there are people with different priorities. But it just goes to show that there's a pretty big diversity of people who are vegan. You know, like there are some that are much more focused on the health aspects. There are some that are much more concerned about animal rights aspects, mm-hmm. and there are some that are much more concerned with taking pictures and posting them aspects.
about the environment.
Does that cause, like, between the animal priorities and the health priorities, within those two groups, does it cause strife? I mean, is there...
Yeah, a little.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, in my experience, I didn't realize, because I was so sheltered. I mean, even, like, in different categories, like, I've had a really crazy past. You guys know a little bit about that. But, like, in certain areas, I've been extremely sheltered to, like, how other personalities are. And when I first went vegan, I thought, well, I'm going to show everyone these documentaries, and I'm going to turn everyone vegan, and they're all going to love it. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing that not everyone cares about the animals. And mm-hmm. I remember the first time it was, like, a slap in the face was I was in my physics class in college, and the girl next to me, she was like, oh, you're vegan? Because she had, like, offered me a piece of cheese or something. And I was like, no, it's okay. Uh-huh. She goes, oh, you're vegan? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, oh, well, I don't give a shit about animals, so blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
wow, I can't believe somebody would just say that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I know there's assholes, but, like,
yeah. But I don't trust people who don't like animals, you know.
I was just kind of like, all right, well, like, I guess that's not my angle every time. And so it's actually that experience helped me kind of morph my conversations with people, because I have a coworker friend here that has been talking about wanting to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, you can lose a lot of weight being vegan, or you can be a junk food vegan and stay heavy, you know? And so it's like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, there's processed vegan junk.
many, many years ago, I'm going vegetarian. I think it was more for health reasons. So, because obviously with vegetarianism, you're still eating animal products and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was working actually at a vegetarian restaurant in college, and that's what kind of... I know, right? Wow.
Did we all just hear that?
I know. It was called Arrow.
Actually, while Mercy's talking, I forgot my iPad.
That's funny. Oh my gosh, we got to get him back up again. So that is a crack up. And Danielle ran to get something into the control room.
Well, there's already a catastrophe.
Oh, she forgets. Okay, right.
It's on your right hand side there.
Yeah, you can't be sitting.
For those of you listening to the podcast, Rob's chair fell.
Just went zoom. That's funny. So, yes, it was shocking news. So everything just fell apart here when I said I used to work at a vegetarian restaurant called Our Contribution. It was in North Hollywood, across the street from Los Angeles Valley College. Oh, you know the name of this place?
No, I went to Valley College.
Oh, well, it was there for many years in the 70s. Okay, so I don't remember how many years it was there. But
everybody went to Valley College.
Bye-bye. That doesn't apply to you.
And I don't remember that you had to be vegetarian to work there, but pretty much everybody was.
Right.
So I thought, I'll go with this too. But what I noticed was the other people who worked there were eating so much junk food. Pizza, 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 pizza. Okay, without any meat on it, but with all the and some of them were smokers. And I'm just like, huh?
You know, doesn't make sense.
And I did it for a couple of years, and then I had to have a barbecued rib, and that's the rest of my life story. So, you know. Did you know that, Rob, that I'm... you did a little research, maybe?
Research.
It was, yeah. So, big time carnivore,
No.
No, but anyways, I just had to tell you a little bit about, when somebody said junk, you could be a junk food vegetarian. It. Yes, you can.
Wow. Eat a lot of crap. Oreos are vegan.
There you go.
Like,
Oreos
FYI.
Are vegan, right?
So, you eat Oreos all day, you're not going to lose weight.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're not doing it for health.
Well, that's a great segue into misconceptions about veganism. So what are some of the other, big misconceptions that, those of us that are not within that particular lifestyle, you've come across?
I mean, I think the biggest one is probably that it's radical and that it's so unusual and people are freaks and and I love freaks.
Of course, I did too, but there's good freaks, there's bad, there's good weird, there's bad weird. Okay,
I mean, most of us, we do the same thing everyone else. We get up in the morning and we have breakfast and we eat lunch and snacks and all of those things too. But even to connect it to what you were just talking about, I mean, a lot of the old vegetarian subculture has just broadened out completely so that it's not just, that particular group. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that group got made fun of even a little bit. When I was becoming vegetarian and vegan, I was really interested in punk and the people who were into punk music.
Yeah, me too. All right.
And they looked at those other folks as hippies, as granola eaters. Right.
So you know, it wasn't meshing.
There's still that,
as well.
That perception.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, there still is.
Yeah. But it's breaking down. It's breaking down. And there are plenty of people who are in it for many other reasons. So I think sometimes when, you know, that's a misconception where people hear that someone's vegan, they will assume this about them.
Right.
But in reality, you know, there's men and women and transgendered people, and there's people who are older and people who are younger and people who are in shape, out of shape. There's all different races and ethnicities. Everything.
And yeah. I think definitely for at least the vegetarian segment, it has come a long way. It's come a long way. I think vegan is on the rise in, you know, and still in its infancy as far as the norm. But I know when I was a kid, my dad was a vegetarian, and that just, I couldn't understand it because I was like,
really?
No.
Oh, wow.
My dad was a vegetarian.
You guys are learning more about each other.
We lived in Hermosa Beach, so
it made sense that my dad was a hippie-ish Hermosa Beach vegetarian.
There's a ridiculous number of vegetarian restaurants. It totally made it easy for him in that context. So I don't think that he necessarily had so much of that that issue with people thinking he was so strange because the community was in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I totally can imagine in Cleveland, Ohio, that's not exactly the norm, right, you know, at that period of time specifically too. But now with veganism, though, when you changed and you started moving that direction, what was the difficulty there? I mean, did you have difficulty sort of what were the inner turmoils of trying to switch over? I mean, was it difficult finding food, figuring out how you're going to do this?
Back did then, you have 20 to, years yeah, ago, yeah,
because this was not, you know, it's not like you could walk down the Sprouts aisle and, you know,
or specialty produce.
I was thinking more along the lines of like grocery food.
Store. Yeah. No. Because we actually do have a ton of vegan options, but yeah, a regular grocery store would be different.
Right.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, completely different. I mean, at that time, it was, you know, even living in Cleveland area, which, you know, it's a major metro area. I mean, we have grocery store. I lived in the suburbs. We lived in an area where there's a grocery store within walking distance, you know, and there was nothing vegan there. And we had to drive, you know, 30 minutes away to get to a food co-op. I love food co-ops. I think they're great.
Yeah, I belong to people, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was one of the challenges was, you know, okay, and in Cleveland, you know, it's like, okay, I have to drive through the snow and the slush and everything. And
leather.
If I can't, you know, if I can't get there this week, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have any rice milk this week or whatever it was, you know. I mean, I'm sure there was something that was challenging for me back then. I mean, it's been so long, I barely remember it. I just know that.
I feel like it had to have been a whole lot more work then to have your vegan options than it is now.
Well, there would be like a lot of gaps in your diet, I think, at that. Because now it's like, if you want anything vegan, they pretty much have a version of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And I, like, just to kind of go back a little bit on what you were talking about with, like, junk food vegans, like, there's a big difference between veganism and whole food plant-based.
Okay.
So whole food plant-based is more of the nutritional side of things. It's what your vegan doctors are going to recommend. Mm-hmm. It's what any like health nutritionist that's into veganism will recommend. That's your not processed. That's your walking out to the grocery store, eating raw, fresh foods. Not necessarily even raw, but just unprocessed, unpackaged, all the extra stuff that's in there. That, to me, is the ideal diet. I have faults. I eat some processed stuff. That's my goal, is to be maybe not completely raw, but completely whole food plant-based.
Okay.
So that I just wanted to kind of make that little distinction when people talk about like the health side of things. And because of the rise of veganism right now, there are a lot more companies that are buying out other brands, like Tyson just bought out Beyond Burgers, or there's other companies that are creating, like Violife has this huge vegan cheese line. And I mean, there's a million out there. And so it's like, it makes me happy to see these kind of things, but at the same time, it's like we're kind of
getting
distorting the message. Yeah, it's like it's still saving animals, but like if you're going vegan for health reasons, that's not quite. I mean, it's still better than
Tyson's,
you know, bacon
not buying
grease,
out
right?
these things for health reasons,
right?
They're buying out
financial,
for financial,
yeah,
reasons.
For financial gain.
Horrible,
yes.
Horrible organization.
Yeah, anyways, agreed.
So yeah,
I think that's the irony, though. I mean, I didn't think of it that way before, where at the same time that the movement or the people who are interested in veganism is growing, then you also have these money concerns that are also growing and maybe diluting the original idea.
Right.
Right. And that's going to happen when anything becomes popular because I'm in doing my research. They said.
Yeah, they can make a buck.
Yeah, of course.
But, or a billion.
And going online, it says that San Diego is probably one of the most progressive vegan cities, and we have more vegan restaurants than almost anywhere else. So,
which I think is interesting.
And you know, the couple times Danielle and I have had the time to go out to lunch together, I go to a chain restaurant, a chain vegan restaurant, which I like. A lot of their food is native foods, and I like it. I haven't been to any. I literally went through the list. I'm like, are you kidding me? I haven't been to Kingdom. I haven't been to Anthem. I haven't. I know.
Oh,
and the thing is, I really do love. I would say 90% of what I've tried so far in vegan food, because I love vegetables.
Right.
And if it's prepared in a great way, come on. I love food. It's not just because I'm a carnivore, I'm only going to eat meat. We all know you cannot, as a meat eater, you really should not be eating meat every single meal. You know, whether I'm only going to eat it twice a week, it's probably not going to happen. Yeah. I probably eat it too much. But anyways, I am blown away. But my point was also that when I asked Danielle about all these restaurants, she goes, her and her husband, right? Yeah. You guys really make more of your food than you eat out. You don't have a lot of time to eat out. It does cost money to eat out.
Yeah. I mean, and working here, like, we literally
have
a giant warehouse.
Yeah.
And we have a full kitchen in the back. So I don't even meal prep because I literally walk into work, grab my food, and eat it. So I'm really spoiled working here. Like, I recognize hardly anybody has that.
Right.
So I, you know, take full advantage of that.
True.
But in normal situations before I was working here, I would meal prep for the week. I was going to school full time. I would take my little, you know, rice and veggies and whatever else with me. And that was it. We didn't eat out a lot, which does kind of save you on the fat and the salt.
Right.
And all that, you know?
Yeah, I know when I eat out, not only am I spending more money, I'm eating things that are not the healthiest choice for me.
Right.
Also in the way they make things. At home, everything in my refrigerator is organic. Well, I can't always get that when I go outside. So, you know.
Now, Danielle, what was your learning curve on trying to create your own vegan dishes? Like, and the reason I bring this up is because, okay, I have a teenager. A lot of people that watch the show know this.
My condolences.
I know. Exactly.
Sorry, that was really loud.
So she's 17, and you know, high school kids go through fads. They see things, their friends do things.
Yeah.
She comes home one day. Thank God she doesn't watch the show. She might be today because she's sitting on a train. But they come home. She comes home one day. She says, well, I think I'm going to become vegan, Mom. And I start laughing. Because I'm like, you mean I'm going to have to cook all your food and make you vegan meals? I'm like, no, if you want to do the vegan thing, that's perfectly fine. But you're going to learn how to do this, right? She gets 24 hours and realizes she can't just go into the cupboard and grab her cookie for a snack or, you know, without looking at the box. I'm like, nah, don't touch that. Because it's one thing when someone just wants to do something for a fad and they jump in real quick. I don't think that most people understand that there's a lot to it. And there's a lot to try to break of habits if that is the direction you either need or want to go.
So I think that's why it's important, like, to keep veganism separated from all these other little fads that are going on. Why it's important to understand the full circle, the animals, your health, the environment. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've liked to make this analogy sometimes that, like, if I'm going on a diet, right? If I'm trying to lose weight, if I'm trying to cut, whatever, and I have a cheat day and I go have an ice cream, whatever, right? And if that's why I'm vegan, that's the only reason is for health reasons, that's not a big deal. But when I start pulling into the, you know, the animal side, like, what did those animals go through to be able to create that ice cream, for us to create that ice cream, then it makes me think, you know what? Yeah, I can have a cheat day, but instead I'm going to grab a non-dairy ice cream or, you know. And so I think a lot of people are jumping into veganism because it's getting more popular and they don't fully have the education on the whole reason why a lot of people are vegan.
Right.
And so, yeah, like any diet, it'll come and go. People, you know, they'll stay that way for a little bit, maybe see some results and then, you know, they give it up. And that's why I think, you know, when I try to talk to other people, I'm like, you know, watch a couple documentaries. You don't even need to watch the super violent ones.
Right.
Just watch the ones on the health side of things. Just
like
so you
Forks Over Knives.
Forks Over Knives is a great one. Veducated is a great one. Cowspiracy is a really good one on the environment. What the Health is pretty new. That's on Netflix. That's a really good one. So it kind of – and they're real, you know, documented stories that they've followed, you know, over time. And so it's not like this, oh, we're just going to check your you know, whatever, your vitals and see where you're at. It's like, no, they've been following these people for a year or something and checking vitals and, you know, sugar levels for diabetes and all these different kind of things. So it's I feel like that side is really important. And then, you know, don't beat yourself up if you eat a hamburger once. Or like if you, you know, that's not my experience. Mm-hmm. But for people who are trying and, you know, because sometimes they'll be like, oh, dang it. Like, I totally screwed up. Oh, well, I won't be vegan anymore. And it's like, well, no, you don't need to do that. Just, you know, don't it's call like, your,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you were mentioning all these films, which I've watched a lot of them. And I have a moral dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch them, I go, how do I really argue with some of this stuff? And there will be people like Jamie Fritch, who we've had on the show, who will argue with that, and he'll give you the reasons why, and his side sounds pretty valid, too. But when I watched, I realized my health isn't the greatest, okay? I know it's because of a lot of the things I eat. Now I'm going through some other things with lack of sleep, and that causes all kinds of weight gain and all that stuff too. But come on, I'm not going to put it all on one thing. I know.
Yeah.
And I also know that being in the barbecue world, we don't always get ethical meat. Come on. We don't.
No,
we know there's I think that is a term, right? Ethical meat. And I've read all about that, where the sources come from. It's pretty awful. And obviously the majority of the food world does not it's not easy to buy ethical meat.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates another dilemma for me. I don't even know where to go with it sometimes. I just...
It can be overwhelming.
It is overwhelming because I know I'm not doing sometimes the right thing for my body. Am I going to stop? Probably not, because look how I've created this career
this
for myself.
This is you.
This is my career for myself here with the barbecue world and all that, and I love it. And I absolutely... I love the way it tastes.
Let's make a show, Mercy Goes Vegan, and we can go on this like weight loss journey and like this health journey. And
whoa.
And then you'll be new, Mercy.
Slow down, okay?
Wow, there's a whole lot coming out. There you go. That would be an interesting.
Something that Danielle said, though, I think could be helpful for you and a lot of other people, which is if there's a day or, you know, however long it is that you eat meat or you eat other things, it's okay. So I'm a sociologist in my other life, and I sometimes will talk about some of these things in my classes. And one of the things that I've talked about is how that word vegan, even the word vegetarian, is something that it sounds like a club where, you know, you have to buy this card. And if you buy the card, that means you're stuck in it. And if you don't buy the card, that means you're stuck out of it. And
there's an absolute line in the sand.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's part of the definition of the word. So if you look at other ways that this could have gone, you know, I mean, America has a lot of these sorts of extremes in it,
right?
You know, and I think it could have gone in some other sort of way where it was just people eat less meat or people commit to, you know, I'm just not going to eat meat, you know, before 6 p.m. Like I think it's Mark Bittman talked about or different ways that you can do it without feeling like, you know, oh, I messed up. I stink. I'm never going to be able to do this.
And the guilt factor is,
yeah. Because no matter, I mean, even if you gave up meat like one day a week, you're helping animals.
Right.
You know, at that point.
And your health.
Well, yeah.
And your health. And your health, probably.
And it's so weird because just maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, I read, I don't remember where, of course, because we're all too overloaded with everything.
Yeah.
Where the source was. But it's exactly what it said. If you are a meat eater, have at least. What did they say? Like, don't, well, obviously, don't make all three. If you are a breakfast, lunch, and dinner eater or lunch and dinner, don't make all three meals a meat meal. Try to have one day where you just have vegetarian, you know, just being vegan maybe or vegetarian. And it's like, oh, God, it's so obvious. Did they need to tell me that?
Yeah.
They did. And you know what? I am trying to follow it.
Well, the small steps, I think, for many of us that have the concerns, those small steps are everything. Because I think that there was a period of time, and I think it still exists clearly, that you do think you've got to go all in or nothing. You know, and that's hard.
That's a big commitment.
Vegans would like you to, though.
Well, I mean, not always.
Well, you know, I mean, I heard that joke the other day, and I know you guys have heard it. How do you know a vegan is walking into the room?
Because they tell you.
Because they'll tell you.
So, Michael did the same joke.
Okay, so what is that all about, you guys? Tell me. Because we have our own version of what that's all about.
Well, so I can relate to this because I was that person. Because, I mean, like I said earlier, once I saw some of these documentaries, I felt like I was so in the dark with everything that was really going on in factory farming. Like, not only was it legal, but it was promoted and backed by our government. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was, like, the biggest slap in the face and was like, these companies are getting subsidies for this kind of stuff mm-hmm. going on, and we wonder why we have a healthcare problem, and the mm-hmm. pharmaceutical industries are also funding this. I mean, it's this whole crazy warped system if you really fall into it. And I felt that, like, that everyone would feel the same way as me. Mm-hmm. And so I started becoming that preachy vegan that mm-hmm. was just like, you should see this. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, was soon to find out not everyone cared. And so after a little bit of that, I realized, like, nobody wants to hear someone preaching. So I try to think of it on, like, a religious point of view. If I have someone, like, I'm not religious. I'm more spiritual. If I have someone that comes to my door and starts telling me I should convert to XYZ mm-hmm. religion, it's not going to work for me.
Right.
But if you were, if you would show me how you live, show me your principles, show me, like, that you're doing good to mm-hmm. others and you're trying your best to be a positive, you know, person in your environment.
That's something you can live,
exactly.
live with and consider.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So nobody's going to turn vegan by being like, you're a bad person. You eat bacon. You know, it's like, let's have a little compassion, because most of us weren't born vegan. Mm-hmm. And even if you were, you know, good for you. But I just, you know, I feel like, let's help each other instead of like, oh, you're gross, you eat bacon. And then it's like, oh, you stupid vegan, you hippie. You know, yeah. And it's like this back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so weird. I got to ask you, you just brought this up and it popped up in my head. I'm sure you both know, maybe we all know, people who were raised vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any of those people that turned carnivore after that? Meat eaters? I know, you have to think about it.
I'm sure there are some, but I don't know.
You don't know any? I wondered what turned them. Did they taste meat and went, oh my God, well, look what I've been missing.
I had one person that I talked to that was raised vegan, ate meat in high school because they didn't want to feel different, then went back to being vegan because they realized it was just better health-wise.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, but it was more of a rebellion stage.
Just thought of that.
That's because, the only thing I could think of.
I always wonder sometimes when parents do that and raise kids a certain way, like, I've heard of people who are vegans that do this with their animals. And I don't know that that's healthy, and I could be wrong.
Oh, babe, turning your animals vegan.
I don't know
cats
that that's healthy.
Cats are carnivorous. There's a whole study. I mean, that's a whole other topic. But
they have
like,
to have taurine in or something like
taurine.
That and all this. Yeah, and I think, whoa, that's going a little too far for me. I don't know.
I mean, any animal can eat plants, but, I mean, cats especially because of their genus. They need actually to have – I mean, you can even just look at their biological features. Like, they have, you know – things. Their digestive systems are much shorter. They're made to process meat. It's a whole nother thing. They can eat raw meat without getting sick.
So would you even say as vegans that's going a bit too far when vegans do that?
It's a crazy line to draw for me because how I feel – okay, so – a lot of people are saying, oh, get this, like, you know, healthier cat food for your cat, right? So it's, like, not the byproducts. Like, that was what I always went to before I was vegan. Like, just let's get the healthiest thing for the cat. Make sure chicken's the first ingredient, whatever. And now I feel like – so I buy cat food from Costco. It does have chicken product in it. I don't know what exactly. But it's, like, I feel like the byproduct isn't necessarily – I mean, it's obviously not the best, but I don't think it's necessarily bad for the cats. They're still getting the taurine or whatever they need. And how I feel is, like, byproduct is not killing an animal to make the cat food. It's literally the stuff humans can't eat.
I don't want to belabor anything, but I just figured, God, when you're a vegan and you really don't want to kill animals and you have to serve your animals meat, is there a dilemma in the vegan's head?
I mean, for me, not as much anymore, just because of that. Like, it's literally, like, I feel like no animal died for my cat to eat. It's the stuff the humans won't eat that gets ran off. And you know what I mean? So I'm kind of like...
I'm still...
I don't know.
Do you have any
thoughts
on
anything?
Sure. I mean, and I think you could hear in her description, though, that is something that we think about. Because once you turn vegan, you wonder about all these other decisions.
Right. Sure.
So it's not just what you eat. It's what pets... or companion animals, or whatever you want to call them. I know that's another.
That's a whole other topic. Yeah.
It's buying leather. It's your entertainment if you go to SeaWorld or the zoo or things like that. But I think that I don't know. I lost my train of thought now.
Cat food, dog food.
Oh yeah, with cat food and dog food. It's not possible to be 100% vegan, and I mean this is. Like, when you get down to the philosophy of it, If you drive a car or even ride a bicycle or something like that, you're going to run over some insects. You're going to have some animal product that's in your car that you,
that's true. Leather
you
seats.
Can't do anything. Well, yeah. You can't do anything about sometimes, and so everything is just trying to be as vegan as possible for me.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, maybe not for everyone, but right. For me, it's like try to reduce suffering as much as possible and try to make decisions that will minimize that. My wife and I do have cats and we do feed them meat and we think that it's appropriate to feed them meat. I personally think it's disgusting. Not just because of the way it smells or anything like that.
Oh, you got to go through that looking, though. They'll open the can kind of thing, smell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gross.
I know that a lot of vegans don't like the smell even. So.
But when you think about it, the industry that makes the food for us to eat meat is the same basic industry that and makes the food for them. So that's not any
it's
better,
a dilemma. You know? I imagine it is a little bit of a dilemma that obviously I never thought about until just this moment. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole another discussion on that.
Well, yeah.
Sure. And I think, like Rob said, in my opinion, is like trying to do the least harm every day. Like, none of us are perfect. Like, I mentioned this in another podcast. You know, sometimes we'll have a bread company that we buy from here. They're almost all of their breads are 100% vegan. It's like flour, water, salt. There's a couple that have like a milk derivative that's like a preservative, you know.
Oh, and yeah, we talk about this.
Yeah, and they don't like all have labels. If I go in the break room and grab a piece of bread from that company, I'm assuming it's probably vegan, but there's no label on the thing. Like, I'd have to go to the main bar, whatever. Have I eaten it? Yes. Like, am I purchasing that thing and contributing more to it? No, it was bread that was going to go in the trash because it's day old, you know?
Right.
So I used to be super, super picky with that and read every single label. And then you got to have a dictionary, yes, you, because you're looking up, like, what's calcium carbonate? What's the, you know, all these derivatives. Whereas if I'm purchasing it myself or if I'm going to a restaurant, yes, I eat 100% vegan. And I would never eat, like, if someone handed me a chocolate bar, you know, it had milk in it. No, I wouldn't eat it. But little things like that, like, I try not to stress over it so much because it consumes you. And then it's just like, now I'm stressed out.
I'm sure it certainly can.
Yeah.
Now, San Diego, like Mercy mentioned, has a lot of places and options for those that either want to dabble or those that are looking, because this is the lifestyle they've chosen. What are some of your favorites?
Ooh, you start.
There's so many.
I know.
And it's changed a lot just in the last few years. And this is one of the things that Vegan in San Diego has been helpful with, which is trying to let people know about all the different vegan options that are out there and the vegan businesses and all those sorts of things. So just within the last few years, we've had the opening of some great restaurants that have become really popular. Kindred is one. My wife and I went there right after we got married. We like went in all of our fancy clothes and we're like, give us some.
Oh, what a day you went.
Yeah. Other ones that have opened recently that we like, Plant Power in Ocean Beach.
I've seen it.
Yeah, see, I went
Plant Power is good.
I did not like what I had there at all. Mm-hmm. But it was right after they opened. I need to give them another chance. I live like a few blocks.
Oh, yeah. Donna Jean.
Anthem.
Anthem is new.
You know, the thing, sorry, Patrick, if you're listening, he's the owner of Anthem. Anthem Vegan, I actually worked for him for a little bit when they had the farmer's market stand. I cooked with him and we actually created a recipe together, whatever. But their farmer's market stand, highly, highly recommended. I love everything on their menu. It's great. Built a restaurant, brick and mortar, or bought a restaurant. And he has a lot of chefs now. It used to just be him and me or him and one other person. Mm-hmm. And their menu vastly expanded.
Now, where is Anthem?
It's in North Park.
Okay.
So it's really close to here. Because of that, like, I don't want to say the quality went down. It didn't go down. It just is a little bit different than the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And it's like what I'm used to. Like, I would cook a lot of the food. So, you know, so I still really like it and would highly recommend it. I feel like, you know, they're brand new. Maybe they'll scale down the menu a little bit. He said Kindred already. Also, Trilogy Sanctuary. Oh my gosh. It's in La Jolla on the rooftop. They have aerial yoga up there. Like, it's beautiful. I mean, you don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it while you're eating.
No, okay. No, they put on shows like other people do it. But it's if you go there on like a Friday or Saturday night, they have a nice little guitar there usually. It's so romantic and beautiful.
Okay, we will put all of these links also down below after the show.
And they have alcohol too. So if you're trying to have like wine, you know what I mean? Like a nice little date.
vegan, right?
Yeah, well, not always. It's not always vegan. But
what?
That,
oh, God, she's killing me now.
So, some beer is actually filtered through fish bladders, but...
What the?
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. But okay. That's another one. And then also, why do I keep on forgetting the name of it? Right here.
Where?
In Old Town?
No, not over here. Where?
Yeah, you're right.
That way.
Civico.
No, Civico is half vegan. Piedro is the vegan half of Civico, 1945. Okay. The other one, why am I forgetting it?
That's a great thing to know.
The one that like tells you, I am grateful.
Oh, Cafe Gratitude.
Oh, that's right. Over here.
Little Italy. Yeah.
Yeah, Little Italy area.
That way. Not this way.
Why am I forgetting names? The one in Encinitas. The raw one.
Oh.
I was going to say Eve. It's not Eve,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, yeah.
Anyways, there's another really good one that I haven't been
to. Well,
I
love that because North County is, you know, is my hood.
Me
and,
too.
You know, so it's, you don't hear a lot about North County restaurants.
Go to Loving Hut. Loving Hut is like vegan junk food.
I've heard that
one, good. Like, I've never had a bad meal at Loving Hut.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I think we may have to do a little experimentation.
And it's not all totally junky. It's
no, not all of it. I just, like...
Heavenly Salad, that's a great, not too junky.
See, I'll go for, like, pad thai or, like, a burrito or something.
So I know we mentioned this to you, but, I mean, what I think is so great is that you're seeing, even on... Okay, now, Facebook is a flood of diversity, right? And... for us to see things like that video where it was the butcher in that town, we brought this up on when you and I were chatting. Yeah. It was on the East Coast. I believe it's in New York somewhere. I think there's a whole shop where everything is fake sausages.
Yeah.
I mean, and it looks so incredibly
like
the real thing. Like
the prosciutto real
thing. And, yeah. And they're creating this whole thing. And sometimes that scares me. And the reason it scares me is because I'm not entirely sure if it's Frankenstein things happening there. You know, Frankenfood.
Yeah.
And I'm all for eating the vegetables and not having, you know, and having a meal that is vegan. But when I start to see things try to mimic something that is meat, then I start kind of questioning. I'm like, well, it's just a little weird. I mean, not that I wouldn't eat it and try it and mm-hmm. but are you trying to replace something that you missed?
That's the argument from non-vegan people. It's like, oh, well, why do they make all that stuff if you guys don't want to eat meat? Why are you trying to make things look like meat? There's that whole, of course, you know, conversation.
Well, there's a huge history of this. I mean, like the Buddhist, the Buddhist monks
yeah.
would
back
try
in the
to.
Day.
I mean, this was long, long ago, hundreds of years ago. They would try to replicate meat dishes when they were living off in their monasteries or in their
I didn't know that
monk areas and
I'm a Buddhist, I should know
and
that.
Part of that is it's like if you are raised in a culture where there's a certain norm you're going to, and this is sociology again,
mimic,
you're going to have attachments to certain things. They mean something to you, you know. Like I think about how when I was a teenager I would go out for a burger with my dad after we worked and put carpet in somebody's house. You know, I helped him with his small business that he had. And so it's like, obviously something like that is going to be important to me later on, is being able to get a burger, even if it's not at the level of being totally conscious. It's like, it's an important part of my life and a memory.
Sure.
And so for a lot of us, it's like, we want to be part of those things still. We still like pizza night, but we don't really want to eat the things that are causing animal suffering or to support that system. So we want to replicate it somehow. It's not for everyone. I mean, there are some people who are vegetarian or vegan who have no interest in the meat
and that's
analogs
kind of
or things like that. But then there are people who do. So I don't know. To me, I think it's kind of interesting to see that there's even more of it than there was before. Some of it is really good.
Yeah.
And some of it is not so processed either as you might expect. Some probably is.
And I think that's where I start going, well, if you're doing all these things, how much processing is happening to
right.
where
is it still well, okay, so
it makes sense anymore.
I'm kind of more on the not so faux meat thing, and not because I'm like weirded out by it. It's just because I try to eat more whole foods and less processed.
Yeah.
However, I believe that they serve a really good purpose. Like what Rob said too, like, you know, if that's a tradition that you have in your family or your friends, or if you're transitioning into going vegan and you're like, right, I don't know if I just want to eat broccoli and carrots all day because that's what they think we eat all day. So it's like, boring, you know, I know. So, you know, people, those are really good transition mm-hmm. foods. I don't think they're necessarily healthy. Like some, like he said, some are worse than others.
Right.
For me personally, like, I don't crave the texture or taste or anything okay. of meat. So I don't, like, you know, I'm not opposed to eating it, but I'm not like, oh, let's go right. get some vegan chicken. Like, I don't really care.
Right.
Now, has anybody had the Jane's Burger over at Jane's Gastropub? What is it? The
Beyond.
It is called Beyond.
Beyond Burger.
But anyways, it's a vegan. Impossible mm-hmm. Burger.
Yeah, there's two. There's Impossible Burger, and there's Beyond. Oh, and the Vegan has them too.
Okay, and have you guys had it?
Yeah, they're so realistic. It's Are they? Weird.
Oh, I gotta have one.
I okay. fed them to oh. meat eaters to see, like, without telling okay. them, and they didn't know. But like,
why would a vegan like that?
Well, that's what's because, like he was saying, like, there's different reasons that people are vegan. For
yeah,
me,
I know. You
like,
did just say that. So
I don't know. I'm not, like, thrown off. Like, mm-hmm. I don't crave – I don't think meat really has much of a taste. It's all the seasonings we put on it and the
right.
barbecue,
of course,
and, which happened to all be
plants. It's a texture thing for me. It's because I've, you know, I've gone through these bouts where I'm like, okay, today I'm not going to eat meat. Because when I came back from Philippines and I got really sick, I just couldn't eat anything that was heavy. And, you know, but I did when I knew that I could only really – stomach vegetables and things that were light. When I did start eating meat, it was just I missed the texture.
Okay,
like, that was where I was.
So try the Beyond Burgers. They're at Safeway and I think Whole Foods now or something.
Oh, they're sold in the markets now.
They are. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, they were bought out by Tyson, so they have a much bigger financial backing right now.
Have they brought the cost down then?
I don't know because they were a little expensive. I haven't bought them in a while. But yeah, they come in like a thing of like two patties, and I mean, it was like. It was cheaper still than buying a burger somewhere else, like a regular right. hamburger. Okay. But like, I don't even remember what the price was. But I just remember thinking, really, like you're going to try to get people to go vegan, and you're charging right. $12 for two patties or something.
Yeah. And in the beginning of everything, it's always like that, right?
They were a smaller company.
Now so. I do want to touch on something that you had said. You said Civico is half and half. I love that concept because then it allows for.
A vegan and a non-vegan to go to a meal together.
Well, shout out to Dave and Wait, too. Dave and Jessica's restaurant. Dave, so that's
Jessica is a vegan.
And he's not. And so, but I mean, he's leaning more towards it.
Yeah.
But.
Yes, he is.
And he's so ridiculously talented in the first place. Yeah, David can pretty much just make magic happen any time of day.
Exactly.
With anything that's available.
No, I know.
And very vegan, too.
Yes, well, that's, absolutely.
That's the story with Civico. I don't know the non-vegan chef. The vegan one is Pedro, or owner. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the concept was. And at first, I was almost offended by it. Before I knew the story, I was like, okay, if you're vegan, why would you be selling animal products? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is my new perception. Now I feel like if, like you said, you have a non-vegan friend or something like that, and you're vegan, and you want to go out to a restaurant, and vegan food scares some people, that it's like, let's go to this kind of place. Now, something that Jessica Waite had brought up to me, because I wanted to talk to her about this, was just that maybe that non-vegan would have never stepped foot into a vegan restaurant, right? But once you get them sitting down and you guys are having a meal, maybe they'll try a bite of yours. Maybe they'll order one little vegan side off the menu. And that might be their first vegan experience.
Good point.
And maybe that's actually a good little segue for them if that's the route they want to go.
Right.
So
to pull them over to the other side.
The light side? No, just kidding.
Well, I like that it gives the options because, I mean, even when you're talking about vegetarian or gluten-free or vegan, I mean, the difficult thing has always been is you go to so many restaurants and there's not an option. So for this, I mean, I love that there is this growing field of options available. Now, we can get into the whole industry thing where people are like, there are never going to be options. We don't need to give options. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, I mean, having the option to be able to choose, especially in San Diego, are there other restaurants that you think do a really great job at offering both sides of the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, two of my favorites are Pokey's, which is a Mexican place that's downtown East Village. And Mama's Lebanese Bakery that's in North Park. They have a number of vegan things. And it's one of the things that I think people need to eat if they come to San Diego is to get the manakish from Mama's. It's like this amazing Lebanese wrap that I think it's something that they eat for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, it's,
I haven't even heard of it.
We eat it at other times. Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's a place where, like you said, it's vegan friendly, but mm-hmm. they also have meat dishes for people who want to have something mm-hmm. Lebanese that has meat in it. Again, on the Vegan in San Diego website, it has a good list of places that are vegan
with
friendly,
options, yeah.
but that have these right. other options as well.
Okay, so that's the terminology then we're looking for. Vegan friendly.
There you go.
And vegan friendly, like I like that word because it's not just you're going into some chain restaurant mm-hmm. and, oh, can I get a salad and you know, that's the only thing I see on the menu. And then the server maybe knows what vegan means, maybe doesn't. I'm going to take a chance and eat
right.
it.
Sure.
When you go to restaurants like that, they usually have little V's next right. to the vegan items. There's right. a I've lot of places around here. Well, Purple Mint mm-hmm. is another good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when I looked at the list of vegan restaurants in San Diego, mm-hmm. the next list was even longer where they have vegan options.
Yeah.
And I'm clearly like, marked kidding? Options.
Yeah, I was yeah. really surprised.
That's a really when I see a menu, if I go into a restaurant that's not vegan, but they have vegan options, and I see the little V's next to it, that lets me know that you know what vegan is, and you're not just a chef that's trying to guess.
Okay.
And so I feel a lot more comfortable with doing something like that.
Yeah, but it also gets back to why are they doing it?
Why are they doing it?
Are they offering vegan options? Do they care really about vegans, or are they trying to include them more to make more money?
Well, of course, it's a financial thing yeah. in the back.
I know. But I can't help thinking like that too.
But
so.
But if it's convenient and if it's making you know the dining public able to have the additional experience, and they're yeah. not opposed to walking into a
yeah
a restaurant that also serves meat, well right. then I think that it's a good thing to share.
Right.
I think sometimes it's actually been the other way around, where you have someone who it wants to open a restaurant, they themselves are vegetarian or vegan, and then they think, I mean, in the past, mm-hmm. what they would do is that they would be forced to open a meat-centric restaurant because they didn't think that anyone was out there who would eat the things that they
there.
Ate. Mm-hmm. So they would be back in the kitchen eating their vegetarian food while having to serve all this to the locals. And now I think what this movement has started to do is it started to encourage people who are business-minded, entrepreneurial, to say, look, there are people who are going to eat vegetarian dishes if we offer them. There are going to be people who are going
right,
to eat
right.
vegan dishes if we offer them. And then sometimes the meat ones are actually the ones that are added.
Yeah.
Well,
instead
I love
of the
that.
Vegan ones being added.
Like I said, we've come so far, and it's fantastic. Well, I do appreciate you guys being here today. I mean, you've yeah. shed yeah. so much light onto...
And yet I have at least 20 more questions, but that's okay.
No, but now we've got a whole list of... Oh, yeah. So the places that we're talked about today, I definitely will make sure that we have them in the comments. Along with the list of the documentaries that Danielle had mentioned too. You know, we'll have all those in the show notes on the podcast if you're listening there, and we'll also have them on the Facebook Live comments below. But thank you both for being here with us.
Thank you.
It was fantastic. And it was such an epiphany for Mercy and I to think, hey, we really do need to include this in our talk.
Absolutely.
Well, I
always.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Mercy and I have a few announcements for the rest of you.
Oh, me first? Okay. All right. First of all, let me just say, you know, it's been, Marie, a fantastic 10 podcast episodes we've done. We have great chemistry together. I love it. And some people may be thinking, well, what is that leading up to? It's leading up to that we have incredibly busy lives.
We do.
We have a lot of goals we'd like to meet and topics we'd love to talk about. And we will.
Yes.
We will be doing them maybe separately for a while. Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we've discussed is, you know, we are doing – this will conclude our season one of Hand to Mouth podcast.
Right.
So Mercy and I will be not doing the Hand to Mouth podcast for a little bit of time because we do have some additional projects we have to work on. As everybody knows, Mercy is deeply embedded in the barbecue world,
sorry.
And we do not want to impede her from making sure she gets to talk to that specific audience and grow her audience so mm-hmm. that they can all share in what we get to see from her on a regular basis, but really focused on barbecue. So Mercy's going to be doing her barbecue the podcast for a while.
Not strictly barbecue. I think we may even call it Barron's Barbecue Beat and Beyond. Because I don't want to maybe just limit it totally to barbecue. And I'll have people like Marie as a guest on my show.
Yeah, but season, you know, the season will begin again at some point once Mercy and I can kind of get a grasp onto how busy we are right now. I'm going to be starting a new podcast in May. It's going to be called But Seriously.
And that's serious?
Where I will essentially be doing a podcast with people that I give a call around the country that are interesting people, intelligent people, witty, funny. And they will be my co-host. And then we'll also have, depending on the topic of the day, we'll be adding in some guests to really talk to us about what makes them notable, how they achieved their goals, et cetera. And in all different industries, fun stuff along with a little bit of serious stuff. But seriously, it's not that serious. So.
And then we're kind of hoping maybe to come back here.
Yep.
I will be at Specialty. I'll be staying here. Marie goes off and does it in some dark, weird little corner. I don't know. But then we're hoping that if we could get to that point where we'll do maybe a season two of Hand to Mouth, then she'll come back here with me at Specialty. These are sort of the plans that are going on. And I think they will gel nicely. So,
I do too. Because it's so easy and natural.
Yeah, we are. We're like pals. It's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We had a great time during this entire season, and we hope that you follow Mercy's journey here at Specialty with her new podcast. And you can find me over at But Seriously Live on Facebook. Bye, everybody.
Bye,
have a great afternoon.
That's it for this week's show. Remember to follow us on our Facebook page and Instagram stories to keep up with Hand to Mouth between shows. Use hashtag Hand to Mouth Show to share what deliciousness you're up to, and maybe you'll be our post of the week.
And a big thank you to the folks at Specialty Produce Network for producing our show from their studio in San Diego, California. Until next time, thanks for listening to Hand to Mouth.
The Specialty Produce app is the world's number one handheld resource on produce. The app features photographs, recipes, geography and history, taste and culinary applications on over 1,900 produce items. From apples to zapote, we've got your produce questions answered. Our app is available for both iPhone and Android. Download our app for free today.